Transportation Security Administration say there is no specific threat, but special teams will be on duty to enhance transit system security for the 4th of July holiday. More than 41 million Americans. Police cleared a terminal at London's Heathrow Airport to check out a suspicious package. More than 100 flights were canceled as officers carried out an investigation. Authorities are keeping the threat level across Britain at critical, requiring passengers undergo secondary searches before being allowed to board outbound flights. British investigators are questioning at least 8 people in connection with the failed car bomb attacks on London and in Scotland. At least 4 of those arrested are doctors who work for the British health system. The investigation has spread across the globe. One arrest was made in Australia. U.S. military forces killed at least 23 insurgents suspected of having links with al-Qaeda during a fierce battle in Iraq's western Anbar province. According to U.S. military sources, insurgents there were attempting to reestablish a base of operations. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's cabinet is taking steps towards meeting the benchmarks set by the U.S. Iraqi officials have approved a draft of a key oil law which will define distribution of the country's oil revenues. Debate could begin on its approval as early as tomorrow. In Pakistan, at least 8 people have been killed and 120 injured during a violent standoff between Pakistani security forces and armed students who want Islamic Sharia law imposed. President Bush said he won't rule out a pardon for former White House aide Louis Scooter Libby. The president did spare Libby a 30-month prison sentence yesterday, but he's still on probation and ordered to pay a $250,000 fine. The Centers for Disease Control have downgraded the severity of the traveling tuberculosis patient, Andrew Speaker. His tuberculosis was diagnosed first as the most drug-resistant strain. Now it is only highly drug-resistant and treatable. This is Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. CollaborativeDivorce.tv.
Space Shuttle Endeavour is already moving closer to its next launch. The vehicle is being outfitted with its external fuel tank and solid rocket boosters. Then it's on to the nearby launch pad by next Monday. A new survey shows that 55% of men have not had a physical exam in the last year. The American Academy of Family Physicians also found that 25% of men report waiting as long as possible before getting medical help for pain, illness, or other health concerns. That's while 79% of men describe their health as good to excellent. But when quizzed about the details, their lifestyles paint a much less healthy picture. Pickups, SUVs, and vans all fell short on rear-end crash testing. More than half of the 87 light trucks tested by U.S. insurance industry analysts fell short of optimum safety. And U.S. automakers hit a sales slump last month, with GM taking the hardest fall. GM reported U.S. sales slid 21% in June from a year ago. Ford sales declined more than 8%, while Japanese automakers Toyota, Honda, and Nissan posted double-digit gains. Light sweet crude is trading at $71.85 a barrel at the close of Wall Street today. The Dow Jones was up 42 points. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisson.
Okay! Tokyo! Stop! Weekend. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It's a Tuesday that feels like a Sunday that feels like the day. Oh, yuck. This is the, you know what? This is like the day after a big bash that turned into a brawl, and there's nothing left but to do but just pick up the mess and the pieces and the... Yeah. I say that, on a day like this, it's always good to survey journalism and see where the biggest story that ought to be getting the most is but isn't. And I refer you all, of course, to that paragon of journalistic integrity, Chicken Noodle News, CNN.com. Ted Turner, why you had to sell your lovely little idea and your outfit to Time Warner and AOL, I'll never figure out for the life. What, you didn't have enough money, Ted? Ted's a nice, good guy. I mean, he's, you know... Well, they say he's not as bad as when he was drinking, but when he was drinking, it was pretty fun. A visionary. I remember one of his buddies said in an interview one time, Ted has a million bad ideas a day, but the good ones are absolute gold. He invented the idea of a 24-hour news cycle. People said he was crazy. I call it Chicken Noodle News now. That's what they called it when he announced that he was going to do it. Chicken Noodle News. And lo and behold, people went out and did real journalism. And now, well, not so much. Let's see. Let's just look at the... Oh, boy, here he is. He's doing visuals on the radio. Dancing about architecture on a Tuesday afternoon. The lead story... Doctor's focus of UK terror probe. You know, that's an inquiry we need to make entirely separately of everything else. The Bush administration blithely and some would say adroitly used the British terror plot, so to speak, as cover for its commutation of Scooter. And, you know, that's dirty and sleazy and rotten and so very typical of a Republican. But we should talk, I've got an idea about this UK doctor plot that I don't know if anybody has touched on. But that's my job, trying to think about things that people don't ordinarily think about them that way. Because, you know, this is all... life is not a line. Life is not linear. Life is three-dimensional and web style. Little tangent points go off in all kinds of different directions. And that's our job here. Whether it's me or it's Joe or it's Mark or Guy or John, Peter, Dr. Bill, is to point out where the little lines are diverging off from what you would ordinarily expect. And I'm proud to say the whole doggone crew does an exemplary job of that. So remind me, somebody, would you please, the doctor issue. So that's the lead story, not Scooter Libby, not the betrayal of the American judicial system. Let's see. Now, CNN recently upgraded its website and yada, yada, yada. Okay, the big print. Doctor's focus of UK terror probe. Tour our changes. Sexuality after cancer care. CNN, YouTube, team up. Security scare cancels Heathrow flights. Airmen flown to safety on chopper's wings. Doctors change mind on TB patient. And then finally, Bush. Libby pardon still possible. They just kind of keep poking and needling and needling and poking and needling, trying to push me down the road with my copy of the Declaration of Independence to make me burn it tomorrow at the Veterans Memorial downtown. They would kill me. And I don't know if I'm willing to die at the hands of right-wingers. Or maybe I'm just a big old coward. I don't know. But there's your, you know, there's your story. There's the story of the evening. Everybody, and yeah, I come down on the same place that Joe Vecchio eventually did, and our good friend David from Tennessee last night was the first basically to say it. Mad, sure. Surprised, no. But now, as if it wasn't bad enough, Dear Leader came out today and hemmed and hawed and stumbled and staggered and slurred and stuttered. Probably stuttered almost as badly as I do. And said he hadn't ruled out the idea of pardoning Scooter Libby. Nope. Hadn't ruled it out. Now, I'm not one to go tooting my own trumpet about writing or about blog posts or anything. I don't get the idea of the celebrity blogger. It doesn't really do anything for me. I don't get the idea of the celebrity anything. Celebrity doesn't do anything for me. Candor does something for me. Honesty does something for me. Being straightforward with you guys does something for me. Having your interplay back and forth, your interchange, your exchange of ideas, that matters a hell of a lot to me. That's basically the be-all and the end-all of why we're sitting back here right now in the Head On Radio Network employee sauna. Because this dialogue, this discussion is what's real. And it's about the only hope that the United States of America, this once great nation, has left. So, but anyway, I put a blog post explaining, and bless his heart, Mark Levine and Joe Vecchio each mentioned it, and I appreciate it. And what I'm on about is this little idea that struck me yesterday during the program as we were all having our disgusted collective 75 square foot sky blue pink purple polka dotted hissy fit about the miscarriage of justice that is George Bush, that is the commutation of Scooter Libby's sentence. And it did dawn on me, and I'd like to flesh this out a little bit more, because if you want to do something, if you want to take some level of action, if you want to feel like you're not just sitting there taking it again, there is something you can do. You can write to Judge Reggie B. Walton, and you can suggest that he hail Scooter Libby back into court and that he immediately revoke his probation. And if you want to see the particulars of it, it's at the headonradionetwork.com main blog site. It's in my blog. It's called Activist Judges. And contained in that blog post is the mailing address for Judge Reggie B. Walton. And you've got time to get a letter to Judge Walton, because this doesn't have to happen tomorrow. In fact, to quote that great sage Khan from Star Trek II, revenge is a dish that is best served cold. But you can write to him, you can fax him, you can phone a message to his office. You will, of course, being liberals, being progressives, be incredibly decent about all of this. And you will just, if you choose to do this, you'll just suggest this as a means of trying to forestall this miscarriage of justice. suggest that Judge Walton hail Scooter back into court and revoke his probation. Why? Well, probation is granted at the tail end of a prison term, and it is granted in lieu of further imprisonment. Now, Scooter had prison imposed and probation of 2 years imposed at the tail end of that to make sure that he maintained himself as a law-abiding citizen after he got out of prison. Well, he's not going to prison. So let the judge hail him back in and do a resentencing in the case. You know, if you want to, you can urge Patrick Fitzgerald. You can write him a letter. I don't have his address. You'll have to find it yourself with the Google. And you can suggest that he petition for resentencing in light of the commutation. And two things need to happen. One of these I left out of the blog post, but it should. It should happen. Because we want to force George Bush's hand, don't we? He's already said he's willing to pardon him. Don't let him get away with pardoning him on January the 20th, 2009. Now, I said last night that it would be a sleazy thing to use this, or that using it for political gain is not the reason that we object to this. The reason we object to this is because we have kids and grandkids, and some folks have great-grandkids, and you talk to them when they're little, and you try to teach them about right from wrong. And you try to teach them a base level of morality. And you don't even, you know, you don't have to even have a religion to teach children about right from wrong and what is fundamentally moral, because teaching children right from wrong is teaching them what it means to be human, not human and Muslim, or human and Jewish, or human and fundamentalist Christian, or human and Presbyterian. It's about being human. We want to be able to teach them right from wrong, and given what George Bush has done, we can't. We can't. It is obvious, and the editorial pages of papers from the East Coast to the left, from the northern border to the southern, have made it abundantly clear today that the American people don't feel that this is justice. This is the sliming of the judicial system. This is a nose-thumbing at the judicial system. This is the destruction of the judicial system. And frankly, I don't know about Reggie Walton. I don't know what he does when he goes home at night. I don't know what he watches on TV. I don't know what he reads. I assume that if he's made it to the federal bench somewhere along, well, okay, he was appointed by Bush. Well, wait a minute. No, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. That somewhere along the way he distinguished himself as a student of the law. And that law and process and the idea of equal justice under law matter to him. Make that assumption. And it might even be a fair assumption. If that's the case, then Reggie Walton needs to stand up for the judicial branch of government in this country, because right now it's not worth much. So he needs to do two things. He needs to revoke Scooter Libby's probation. And immediately, I mean forthwith, commit him to the custody of the federal marshals to serve 2 months, or 2 years, the same term as the probation would have been, 2 years in the federal penitentiary, and send him out the door and make George Bush stop the marshals in their tracks on the way. The other thing he needs to do is, I'm sure that there is some sort of a payment plan associated with this damned commutation, or, well, no, it's not with the commutation, but there's a payment plan associated with the conviction. Remember, he was fined $250,000. Now, we all know that Scooter Libby, let me see if I can find it. Our good buddy Eugene Finnerman over at FinnermanWorks.com did some calculations based on this. on what it would take Scooter Libby to come up with the $250,000 that he had to pay back? Our good buddy Eugene wrote, should Louis Libby change his nickname from Scooter to Scott Free? Of course! He still is burdened with a fine of $250,000. Do you realize how hard he would have to work to earn that kind of money? He would have to serve on at least 3 corporate boards for a year. He might have to rob 20 liquor stores. Fortunately, the president could commute any of those sentences, too. Working as a bartender, he would have to make 2,500 Jell-O shooters for Jenna Bush. And she doesn't tip. I have no idea how much cocaine he would have to sell, but perhaps the president still remembers the market rate. One of the smartest men on the internet, Eugene Finnerman over at FinnermanWorks.com. But it is true, he has to, there's a $250,000 fine that must be paid. Paying the fine is a condition of probation. I guarantee it. So, remember, the sentencing judge has broad latitude and great discretion, and the rule of interpretation and the rule of construction for appeals says that the appellate court will not set aside a discretionary act by the trial judge unless it can be proven that the trial judge acted maliciously, arbitrarily, or capriciously. None of which would apply here. He needs to hail Scooter Libby back in. You need to instruct him to do so, or request him to do so. Scooter Libby needs to come back into the federal courthouse there in Washington, D.C., at the E. Barrett Prettyman Federal Building on 333 Constitution Avenue, Washington, D.C., zip code 20001. And the judge needs to tell him the $250,000 fine is due now. Not tomorrow, not 5 minutes from now, now. Get out your checkbook or go to jail, Scooter. It's time to play hardball with these thugs. Because you know what? They never hesitate to play hardball with us. Jesus and his brother Harry. Harry Reid saying, history will judge George Bush very harshly for this. Hey, Harry, George doesn't give a tinker's damn about history. Didn't you read the articles? There may not be a history, says George Bush. We'll all be dead. So what do you think? No. We'll play hardball. If we start playing hardball with them, they'll run away because they're bullies. Once you have punched a bully squarely in the nose and bloodied him up real good, he goes crying, "Be mean to me." We've all seen it happen on the playground, haven't we? So if you're interested, drop a line or a phone call or a fax or whatever to the Honorable Judge Reggie B. Walton and let him know that you would support the revocation of Scooter Libby's probation based upon his failure to pay his fine, a fine that is due and payable to the people of the United States of America, and as a member of those people, you demand payment now! Let's go to the phones. Bob's calling from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
I was going to get salute, you know?
Yeah.
You know, salute, I mean, you know, stand up and, you know, kind of snap your fingers. Oh, goodness, I gotta mute this down because I'm looking on too many channels, okay?
Yeah, that can be a little confusing, can't it?
Yeah. I think I got it. Okay. Now, I'm sorry about the other evening, guys.
No, don't apologize.
You keep telling me that. Don't apologize.
Well, then stop it. Don't apologize.
No, but you got to understand, when you're not in your element, and sometimes you'd say things that you wouldn't say under other circumstances other than when you're under duress. Sometimes you just say things, and then you wish you didn't say them. You must apologize. You must apologize to the people of the world.
Well,
say,
if that's what you need to do, that's fine.
No,
but no apologies are due and owing here.
No, I understand that, Bob. But you said something just when you started this program that you were going to go downtown and burn the flag that they draped on your father's coffin.
No, I said I was going to burn the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. I decided
well,
I
couldn't.
Well,
that's close. That's the same difference, is it not? It's the same thing.
To me, it is. To them, it's not.
To me, it is, too. It's like I'm going to take this rag that they draped in my father's coffin, and I'm going to take it downtown, and I'm going to burn it in front of them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Same difference. That is what Francis Scott Key wrote, that beautiful ballad that we call what?
The National Anthem.
Yeah. About that we fought for something, justice, decency, love of humanity and love of one another, and we fought for it against a tyrant king way back when. And I heard a decent man, a good man, say that he would take those pieces of paper downtown and burn them, and then the right wingers would kill him. They would shoot him dead.
Oh, like a dog in the street.
Well, then let them put their sights on me. Please let them come. Just a Bob. I will stand before you as the target of opportunity. I am a veteran of your nation's wars, my nation's wars. I am a veteran of that, and I will stand as the target of opportunity. I will let these cowards, these Republicans, just shoot me down dead and say, I'm the hero, you know, because I've killed this veteran, this man that has stood before the guns and saw his brothers die before his eyes. I will stand there and die before their eyes, and they will be what? Exalted in Bush's eyes? Because Bush is that coward that would kill for no reason, for nothing. He would kill anything, anyone, for nothing. Except for his friends. I don't kill for you, Bob. I would not kill for you. I would kill to protect that which I love.
Sure.
And that's the truth. I would fight and I would die for what I believe. And I believe that the United States is not a dead nation. It is a nation that is asleep. And it has been put to sleep by these Republican thugs, these right-wing pieces of crap that have dumbed them down, made them so stupid that they can't even read. They're not capable of reading. They have to have somebody tell them what to read. They don't look for nothing. They don't go out and search for the truth. They have to listen to Mike Malloy and Bob Kincaid to find out what the truth really is. And boys, you do a god dang good job. You really do. Between you and Malloy, there ain't no other program on this planet that I'd listen to, because you guys do tell the truth. And anyone that doesn't believe it, come talk to me and I'll kick some sense into your whatever, posterior, where you put your brain, because it ain't in your head. It's coming out your butt. Okay?
Yeah.
Butt is okay to say, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you can say butt.
Okay. I didn't say
you can say, you can say all kinds of things on it. You know, we don't got no FCC. We don't need no stinking regulation.
Bob,
the truth
is you are not a coward or a weakling, and my friend down there in Florida, he ain't no fairy either. He's a friend of mine. I don't give a damn if he's gay. That's great. I love gay men. Hey, I love them to death. I just don't love them in bed, okay?
Okay.
I love them as friends, and
Sure.
Them as fellow pickers.
Well, you know, it's like Peter says, sexuality is about being gay or being straight. It's about as significant in the grand scheme of things as being right or left handed.
Absolutely true, and that's the fact. Hey, I talked to you.
But you know, that's why we do all this, Bob. I mean, we call it progressive. We call it liberal.
We do this because we have to. Because we're not
right.
We're not afraid to stand up and speak the truth. And we're sick to death of hearing lies. We're sick of the lying left and the lying right, and they're both liars on both sides of this coin or this equation. They're lying their asses off. Okay?
There
is. Don't lie. And I don't lie. We just speak what we feel, what we see. Like, you know, I love Guy James to death. And he is he's a yeller dog Democrat, not no blue dog. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Vote for an old yeller dog before he'd vote for a Republican.
Democrat.
Absolutely.
And he wouldn't vote for a Republican if they were putting him on the rack and waterboarding him, and neither would I. And that's why I'm a yeller dog Democrat. But I'm not a yeller dog Democrat from birth. I had to learn how to seek the truth. Look for what is not obvious. Don't believe what they tell you. Go find out for yourself. And that's all I'm asking this earth to do. I'm not asking anyone to do anything because I told them to do it. I'm asking them to do it for themselves.
Well, and that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. I don't want anybody thinking they're tuning into this program and being told what to do.
Absolutely. And you never tell me nothing, and I don't tell you nothing. We just know because we have actually looked. We have read books that other people have never even looked at, because it was a strange little book in the library. You know, one of them...
All kinds of those. There's lots of strange books in the library.
Well, just the thing is, if you want the truth, seek it. Look for it. Everybody calls it into Mike Malloy. They call them truth seekers. Well, dang it, you don't have to call Mike Malloy or Bob Kincaid to be a truth seeker. You can find it on your own. Just look under the mat in front of your door. I mean, maybe you might find something there that you didn't even think was there. Maybe the key to get into your house. And maybe that house is the White House. And that key is that you don't believe the BS that's being dispute out in front of your face. But Bob, if any of them right-wingers puts a gun to your face, son, they better put it to mine first, because hey, I don't give a hoot in hell. I really don't. I'm praying that they put me up there with with Michael, the archangel, the one that's going across the River Styx. And I guess what? I'm guessing.
Michael, row the boat ashore. Hallelujah.
Yes, and I'm really guessing, because I think when I get across that River Styx, the first face I'm going to see is GWBUSH. And guess what? If I'm with Michael and the Archangel, I'm going to kick me some Republican ass in hell, and I'm looking forward to it. So, come on, bring it on. Take me out.
Hey, let me ask you, how did stuff go with Glenda?
Oh, God, she's doing great. Oh, like I told Agnes, I said, you know, the doctor came out of the operating room, and he looked at me. You know, before we had all these, you know, kind of sad little faces from him, but he was beaming, and he said... He was beaming, Bob. I looked into his eyes, and the man was on. It was just like, wow, it worked. It, you know, like he was like a 10-year-old kid in a candy store with a $100 bill and says, go for it. He was just beaming. He was just, and Dr. David here in this little community is my hero, because she's doing things with her right now.
She's up and about?
Yes, she's up and about.
Holy cats, that's wonderful.
Yeah, she's just, hey, she's cooking, and I'm, but she's not perfectly together. There's a couple days when we're going to wait till they can see if she can
if she's anything like Agnes, Bob, I know that she's probably up and around and cooking, because the only way to keep her from doing something like that would be to strap her down to the bed and put a guard around her.
No, you can't strap her down. You can't. I know.
I've seen Agnes do this. I've seen her come out from gallbladder surgery and want to paint the walls or scrape the house or mow the lawn. I need to get busy now. Honey, sit down. No, I'll be okay.
That's our women, Bob. These women are better than us.
By a long shot.
They have more courage. They have all of our...
More courage, more brains, more... Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, like I said...
Purtier?
Yeah, well, damn sight purtier you're me. But, hey, guess what? I want to say this. Just before you kick my butt off the net tonight.
Okay.
Just say this, okay? I told that doctor that I may be a very highly intelligent man. And I may have read more things and remembered more things than this woman could ever, ever even in her existence remember. But she's a damn sight smarter than me. You know why?
Why is that?
Because she knows when to shut up, and it's my turn to shut up.
I love you, Bob.
Be quiet. And I love you.
Talk
too.
To you soon, brother.
To you and to my fellow liberal friends, and I mean that, liberal friends out there, be to each other as you are to those and all around you. Be liberal, but do not be afraid, because we are coming, and we're coming on hard, and we are not afraid to fight, because we are them damn fighting Democrats that they talked about and they are afraid of. We are that which they fear. They fear us more than they fear the fires of hell, and that's where we're going to send them. We're going to send Libby and Scooter and Georgie and, God.
They've punched their own tickets. You know,
I would love to just...
I know, but let's not have any...
Well, no,
there.
I just want to say this, okay? I heard a song way back when, Drop Kick Me Jesus Through the Goal Post of Life.
No, I know.
Okay?
Yep.
Well, I would like to drop kick Karl Rove through the gatepost of hell. And that would be my fervent hope that if I ever got sent there, that the devil would at least allow me the courtesy to drop kick Karl Rove's ass right through the gatepost of hell. That's the only thing that I pray for, that if I could pray for anything, would be the opportunity to be, what is that, Charlie Brown? And actually score a touchdown by kicking ass through the gate, through the doors of hell.
All right, we're out of here, Bob.
All right, talk to you later.
Later now.
Good.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Our best to Glenda. Sing it, Ray. We'll be back. Let's listen to some music. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob.
Who more than self our country loves, and mercy more than something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far a purple mountain majesties. Over the fruited plain. But now wait a minute, I'm talking about America. Sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. Yes, he did. Give me brotherhood from sea to shine sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
You missed Strictly Confidential last week. You missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible. Like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't. And so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me. And I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Better yet, do you feel it? That's what Night Sounds is all about, and I can't wait. I'm so ready. He's going to change the way we hear music.
Yoo-hoo.
Hello.
Hey, Al.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Gore.
Hello.
Hey, Al. It's the Vice President.
Mr. Gore, we need you for president.
We deserve a president we can respect.
We deserve a president we can respect. Who has experience.
And compassion.
Who is the most qualified.
Who is a proven leader.
Al Gore. Right on Iraq. Right on global warming. Right for the 21st century.
Join us at DraftGore.com and supporting Al Gore for the Democratic nomination for president.
Sign the petition at DraftGore.com.
Paid for by the committee to draft Gore. He won once. He can win again.
Thirteen and a half minutes before the hour, and I'm not going to sit here and blather because folks are calling in on their own nickel. I have to remember that because, as a reminder, for the next week and a half or so, we will not have available for you the toll-free line simply because the nature of the busted phone system means that it won't ring through to it. So the phone number, if you want to get
try again.
Too much gin on the cornflakes, Bob. If you want to get through the program, it's on your nickel. It's 304-658-5912. And, you know, it's conversation radio, so I'll just promise you that I'll try to get to each call as quickly as I possibly can. Kate is calling from Arizona. Hey, Kate, welcome to the program.
Oh, this is terrible connection. I can barely hear you.
Oh,
there you go. That's better.
Okay.
I just called to conversate and get it over with because I've only got one phone line and I missed the show while I'm waiting to call and, you know, whatever. So I don't even know what you're talking about. Did I just hear some patriotic music in the background?
Yeah, you did. A little David Crosby singing My Country Tis of Thee, Ray Charles with America the Beautiful.
Okay.
I personally think Ray Charles' version of America the Beautiful should be changed to the national anthem.
It kills me, yeah, right. Or Jimi Hendrix, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those boys knew how to do it. I was thinking all yesterday. I didn't call in because everybody pretty much covered the hysteria, and I had too much to say, and it didn't really fit in with the stream of conversation because I just, whatever. Anyway, this morning I realized I'd been hearing people talking about justice, 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 and I thought, I'm not even enraged. I'm not even surprised. I'm not, you know, with the whole, I mean, with everything, we heard the TB story to get us past something that there's so much chaos going on that it's hiding something else. And I just always like to look at the bigger picture and wonder what are we not seeing? What's being kept from us? What's behind the screen? You know, what's behind the curtain?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, I asked that question the other day about the empire's falling. I mean, we've just been so attracted to shiny objects and Eisenhower 50s, and you know, everything was so back in the good old days, and we let everything slide. And I see that we just kind of let things go, and all of a sudden, the tectonic plate shift is starting to become evident, and there's mass hysteria, like, oh my God, we got to march on the White House. Well, there's nobody home at the White House. Hasn't been for quite a while. And what was it that brought Rome down? Does it have anything to do? Does it look anything like this?
It kind of did. Their republic got the way their republic was structured got so unwieldy given their expand. It has to do with size
and bureaucracy.
Well, to a certain extent, but it's more. Rome's Republic was a lovely, lovely working, for the most part, idea.
Mm-hmm.
As long as Rome was pretty much confined to the Italian peninsula.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But money, and you know, one of the best examinations of this in recent memory is Tom Holland's book Rubicon. I'm sitting here looking at it, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
He points out what happened to the Romans when they got a little money in their pocket. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded of that Bible verse that everybody misquotes. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Right. That's right.
The Romans got rich. There's a discussion going on in the chat room right now, talking about the basically the area that is Turkey and Anatolia, mm-hmm. and the wars with Pontus in ancient mm-hmm. Rome. The conquest of that part of what the Romans referred to as Asia mm-hmm. made Rome rich beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's that much money, reaching people, greedy people, avaricious people, are going to try to control that money.
Does this sound anything like what's going on today?
It absolutely does.
And for so long?
Yeah, it absolutely. It'll be the end of us.
It is. And Ben Franklin said, it's yours if you can keep it.
And, right.
Or something like that. I mean, they didn't even think this experiment would work. And it worked until we got rich, and then we started expanding and going out and conquering everybody, and my God can kick your God's ass, and and we're going to kill you, and over there before you come over.
We're going to kill you in the name of Jesus.
That's right, and before they come over here, well, they're coming over here, and they're coming up over the border through the fence, and and our governor signed a bill yesterday that said that they can fine the employers who hire illegals, and oh God.
Well, see, I'm a bit of a pragmatist on these things. John Edwards recently, as recently as today, as a matter of fact, announced that he wants to see the minimum wage go all the way to $9.50 an hour, wait for it, by 2012.
Cool. I can wait.
Gosh, don't spend it all in one place, poor people.
That's why I don't work, because you don't pay me. You can't afford me, so I don't work.
Well, I'm reminded of the saying that they had in the old Soviet Union once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they pretend to pay us, we'll pretend to work.
That's my favorite line.
And that's where we're headed in America. We're, oh gosh, this is one of those spend a week on it topics.
Mm-hmm.
they've been cropping up lately. But I applaud John Edwards for saying that, because it's in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, John Edwards has still not come out for single payer health care, which is the only mm-hmm. thing that is going to fix the health care problem in this country.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the insurance companies are left in place,
mm-hmm.
it's going to continue to be busted, because as long as it's run for profit,
mm-hmm.
it can't be run for the good of the people.
No.
But $9.50 in 2012, $9.50 in 2012 is going to be worth 5 1/4 10 years ago.
That's right. That's right. I just see it all crumbling, and I don't know quite what to. One of my favorite movie heroes is the woman in Thunderdome who, not Tina, but she's another story, honey. The woman who's sort of the mother of the clan children,
mm-hmm.
the feral children, and she's the storyteller, and she passes the stories on, and sometimes the syllables get turned around, and they say things like pocky lips, and the storyteller, she's the key person in the restructuring, in the recovery of the culture. She's the storyteller. The woman who has the stories is the one who's going to bring it all back around. Hopi Grandma said not long, about a few last decade, the world is suffering from testosterone poisoning, and you're doing it wrong, and it's all going to end.
Well, I'm reminded of the Shawnee people, Kate. The Cherokee got resettled on the Trail of Tears, and that was an act of genocide perpetrated by Andrew Jackson, for which he's barbecuing in hell.
My grandma's people are there.
Yeah. The Shawnee didn't even get that.
Mm-mm.
They just got run.
Mm-hmm.
And among other things, the Shawnee culture was beautiful because of its reliance on a duality chiefdom. I don't know if
mm-hmm.
you're familiar with this at all,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there was a peace chief and a war chief, and the peace chief was a guy.
Mm-hmm.
The war chief was a guy, and the peace chief was a woman. And before anybody could make war, they had to go to the peace chief
mm-hmm.
and the peace council
mm-hmm.
and get the women's approval.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've been saying that for years. Every time those white boys sit around that round table and decide what to do, there should be a grandma there. And there's not a grandma at one of those tables making...
No.
Not one. They would. If Grandma came there, she'd snap him upside the head or box his ears and say, "Boy, you weren't raised like that. You sit down and shut up." I mean, this.
You was raised better.
Uh-huh. I brought
God,
you
I've heard
world.
That. I have heard that. I have heard that.
I brought you into this world.
I'll take you out. Oh, Lord.
I thought I hoped I'd never have to say that. Well, you know, everybody's ranting about there's no justice, the justice has been pissed on and the plague. I don't know. I'm not speaking for everybody, but I just have the people I know, women and blacks, there ain't no justice, and so that's why this is...
Let's not pretend that there is, please.
No,
now that the scooter thing has been done, I don't ever want to hear anybody mention the O.J. Simpson getting away with it ever again.
No,
okay?
Not at all.
I'm no O.J. fan, all right? But you know what? That case stands as somewhat similar. Who am I to talk about this? But there's a certain symbolism there for all the times that that innocent men have been killed, imprisoned, tormented for things that they didn't do. O.J. got away with murder, literally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, now here's Scooter Libby, who, interestingly, you know, Mark Levine in his program said Scooter Libby was the guy who represented Mark Rich that the Republicans had such a hissy about getting pardoned from Bill Clinton.
He did, yes. He was his lawyer.
Holy cats!
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then my conservative friend, well, I don't know what that other word is, he's just not on my same page. He says, well, how many people did Clinton pardon? And I said, I don't give a flip about Clinton. This isn't about Clinton. There is justice. It's just us as long as you're a Northern European person with a penis. That's there. Then you have just us. That's all there is. If you got
You're reminding me of, you're making me feel all guilty now, Kate, and I'm remembering that old Johnny Carson bit where he said, and then you go to the Schlossen cutoff and you get out of your car and cut off your Schlossen.
I don't know.
The That's things not. You guys do to me.
I'm just saying that, you know, like there, I'm just thinking about in 76 when I lost custody of my children, there's no justice because I didn't have enough money to fight the legal system.
No.
And, you know, you come out queer in 76, you're going to get your head shot off.
And it doesn't change much in 86 or 96 either.
Mm-mm. Oh, I know that. That's what I'm saying. There's no justice. From my perspective, from my personal experience, there is no justice.
This guy, Leslie Southwick, you familiar with him?
He blows me away.
This guy has been elevated, is going to be elevated to the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and he authored an opinion in which he looked at a gay woman and said, well, honey, you want to keep your children, you shouldn't have been gay.
Right down
there. Ooh-wee.
Right down there in Mississippi. Yeah, we just about got eaten up when I was volunteering down there. I mean, that's a whole other show. It's pretty awful. But, anyway, we didn't even get the right to vote until the 20s, and then we have to reconsider whether blacks should vote again because they might have gotten too uppity, so we can rescind their right to vote. So,
and go to school, apparently, according to the Supreme Court. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
pardon me?
And go to school, too, according to the Supreme Court. You know, they ripped the guts out of Brown versus Board of Education last week.
That makes me rage, and so I'm gonna just drop the subject. But I just wanted to, you know, I just think that underneath this chaos, because I'm a whole systems designer, and I just revel in chaos, and I love it when I see chaos. I think, oh wow, something's going on underneath here because it's always self-regulating, and I just love to see how it's going to shake out, you know. And I guess it's kind of up to me to just continue to be the storyteller.
Somebody's got to, and it's a position that not a lot of people are applying for.
No, I'm either the clown or the storyteller, and I forget to ask permission to be the clown. You know, in the indigenous tradition, the clown
right.
is the one who
coyote
mimics
coyote trickster
mimics the behavior of the other person. Sometimes when I do that with my caustic wit, I think, oh, they don't understand clown.
No,
it was supposed to be a compliment.
they know hoblo clown.
They know what?
They know hoblo clown.
Yeah, no, yeah, right.
Hey,
well,
Kate, so good to talk to you, dear. Yeah. We're at the top of the hour.
Oh,
because we have to catch the news at the top of the hour live because it's busted and we can't get the pre-recorded one and run it at 10 after.
Ah, cool. Well, right on. Head on, right on. I'll talk to you again.
All right. You take care. We'll catch you Thursday.
Bye.
Bye now.
No, I
wasn't. A little slow on the draw there, Agnes. All right, to the news we go. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Transit system security for the 4th of July holiday. More than 41 million Americans are expected to take to the roads for the holiday, while an estimated 4.7 million will fly in and out of U.S. airports. A security scare temporarily closed a terminal at London's Heathrow Airport. Police partially evacuated the area to check out a suspicious package. More than 100 flights were canceled as officers investigated. Authorities are keeping the threat level across Britain at critical, requiring passengers undergo secondary searches before being allowed to board outbound flights. British investigators are questioning at least 8 people in connection with the failed car bomb attacks on London and in Scotland. Most of those in custody are employed by the British National Health System. At least 7 of them are doctors. The investigation into the possible Al-Qaeda plots has spread across the globe. One arrest today was in Australia. In Pakistan, at least 9 people were killed during a violent standoff between Pakistani security forces and armed students trying to occupy a government building. The standoff has been 6 months in the making as hardline clerics campaign to get Islamic Sharia law imposed. And President Bush said he won't rule out a pardon for former White House aide Louis Scooter Libby. The president did spare Libby a 2.5-year prison sentence yesterday, but he's still on probation and ordered to pay a $250,000 fine. North Korea has agreed to containment and surveillance measures by UN nuclear inspectors to verify a shutdown of its nuclear arms program. Officials with the Environmental Protection Agency are meeting with Kansas state officials concerning a large oil spill mixed in with floodwaters. At least 1,000 barrels have been added to the misery of heavy flooding across the state. 12 counties have been declared disaster areas. Traveling TB patient Andrew Speaker does not have the most dangerous form of the disease. His doctors say it's instead a strain that's easier to treat. Speaker set off international health alarms when he traveled on commercial airlines against doctors' recommendations. You are listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, coming up.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
NASA's Space Shuttle Atlantis got a piggyback ride today back to Florida. A modified 747 carried the craft from California, where it had to land because of bad weather at Kennedy Space Center. The shuttle Endeavour will be launched August 7th. A new study released by the AMA reports that a small amount of dark chocolate lowers blood pressure without causing weight gain. 6.3 grams, about the size of a Hershey's chocolate kiss, lowered blood pressure, while white chocolate did nothing. A new survey shows that 55% of men have not had a physical exam in the last year. The American Academy of Family Physicians also found that 25% report waiting as long as possible before getting medical help for pain, illness, or other health concerns. 79% of men describe their health as good to excellent, but when quizzed about the details, their lifestyles paint a less healthy picture. U.S. automakers hit a sales slump last month, with GM taking the hardest fall. GM reported U.S. sales slid 21% in June from a year ago. That's while Japanese automakers Toyota, Honda, and Nissan posted double-digit gains. Light sweet crude is trading at $71.82 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials was up 42 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Agnes and I have this little game we play now. She'll look over and warn me that the microphone is on. And one day she did it, and she said, "You're hot." And I went, "You're hotter." "No, you're hotter." "Oh, I think I'm entering my second adolescence. Next thing you know, I'll be buying a Corvette." "No, I won't." "I can't afford the lug nut off a Corvette. What are we talking about?" Let's go to the phones and talk to our good buddy Joe Vecchio. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Okay. Well, I did what I said I might do.
Yes.
And that I posted your judicial activism on Daily Calls, and you know, on the first thing, I put the first paragraph in there. I put that this was printed by permission. It was not my article, as it originally publishes this by Bob and Kate on a Head On Radio Network. Posted with permission, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, is just following the protocol, because, you know,
let me guess, the blog police are after you.
Damn straight. And it took all of 5 comments or so for the concerned trolls to show up. I got one guy named GOTV, of all names. Does that sound like a Republican name to you or what? But he was like, "This is an irresponsible diary. This is an irresponsible diary." So, and then later on, somebody added, "Irresponsible and stupid and dumb." There we go. That was by Too Lucky. So we've gotten up to 20 comments at this point, and we'll see if any more still come in.
I mean, is there a button on there that says "Flag Right Winger" or anything?
Well, you know, the thing about it is these probably aren't right wingers, but your typical Daily Coast concern trolls. And I've been kind of arguing back and forth with them, and, you know, people saying, your tone is inappropriate, you know. And I'm sorry, well, if this diary is so outrageously stupid, then why are you bothering to reply? Last time I made a post, I got 5 comments complaining that I didn't know how to use the tags from people who never even bothered to read the post, and another commenter who complained to me for not hanging around for 5 or 6 hours to argue with people about it.
Oh, bad blogger, bad. No fruit cup for you, Joe Vecchio.
Well, you know, and these guys are sucking up our donation money there, Bob. "Oh, I got to get in on the game here. If I donate $10, I will increase my social standing in the Daily Coast blogosphere."
Well, you know, I've decided I'm going to start working on that first lug nut of the Corvette. Oh, God. What's irresponsible about it?
Well, the guy did quote the fact, one guy did quote a 18 U.S.C. section 3565, which I'm not going to go bother to check up, but you can't just call a guy up for probation like that.
Oh, so yes, you can.
I'm not going to look up 18 U.S.C. section.
I know what he's talking about, and oh, yes, you can.
I don't know. If you got any kind of documentation to back that up, then that might be helpful. But I'm not going to go, you know, and again, people pointed out that, you know, talking like it was my diary, like I actually wrote it when it was very clear. I made it very clear at the beginning that this wasn't my diary.
You know, I want people to have some way of expressing themselves on this. And no one is in better position to hear that expression than the Honorable Judge Reggie B. Walton. And that is the bottom line. There is all kinds of boilerplate in any probation agreement or any imposition of probation. And frankly, let's say you're Jose and you live in the barrio. Your probation can be violated on a whim.
Right.
All right. You ever seen the way that a cop determines what probable cause is? In a traffic stop.
Didn't they have a case just recently where they just like drove up the construction site to see who ran away?
Yeah.
They say, "Well, you're running from the cops. You must be a crook."
Exactly. And then there's Samuel Alito, who prior to mounting the Supreme Court, and I do mean mounting the Supreme Court, he authored an opinion in which he upheld the murder of a 15-year-old young African-American man who was a good 20 feet from the cops, was running away, was climbing a fence, had no weapon, and the cops shot him in the back of the head, and Sam Alito said, "Cool!"
Yep. Well, they're, you know, they're only law and order for certain people, as I keep pointing out. The law is for people like you and me, you know. It's not for them. They get to do whatever the hell they want. And, you know, one guy also pointed out, and it's absolutely true, you know, well, Bush will just pardon him anyway. And I said, but yeah, but that's kind of the point. You know, if he had read the whole thing, he would have seen that. It's to kind of force Bush's hand. You know,
make him do it. You know, this is that old-fashioned, mean-ass Democratic Party politics that I think is called for right now, Joe.
Well,
if you recall LBJ...
Well, that's irresponsible, Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's very irresponsible.
I didn't mean to violate your concern.
And I'm shaking my finger. You can't see, but I'm shaking my finger very, very.
I can hear it. I can feel it, Joe. I can feel the tenor of your finger shaking. But, you know, LBJ, the way, way, way back when he was running for Congress or Senate or something, back when he was just a young, savvy, mean-ass Texas Democratic politician, looked at his campaign manager, maybe this is apocrypha, I like to think it's true, and told his campaign manager to put out a press release asking whether his opponent had stopped having sex with farm animals yet. And his campaign manager said, LBJ, I can't do that. We ain't got no evidence he's done that. And LBJ just grinned. He said, I know. I just want to hear him deny it.
What did Harry Truman say? Give him hell every time and never apologize.
Right. That's how you deal with bullies. Republicans have always been bullies. They will always be bullies. We succeed against Republicans when we stand up, ball up our fist, reach all the way back into the bottom lands of Arkansas, bring it forward, and smash their ugly little noses bloody all over their face, and then they run away and they cry. And they don't make their mischief anymore. The rules of the playground apply to the Republican Party probably better than any other social institution.
Well, unfortunately, our own playground, we seem to be going after each other more than anything else. And that's why, you know, and one of the other posts that I made, comments I made here, so, you know, and people wonder why I never post here anymore. You know, because I pretty much gave up posting. Because, like I said, that's what, you know, in fact, it got so bad, the last post, I just wound up deleting it. You know?
Yeah.
So, and again, they're sucking up so much money, and you know, they're taking donations for their yearly Coast Convention, which is going to be here in Chicago. And by the way, I tried to contact the local people, because you have to have some local people who handle some of the nuts and bolts aspects
mm-hmm.
of these things. And I've run conventions previously. I've run pretty successful conventions previously. And I've got a little experience. I wasn't trying to be Mr. Big Shot. I said, listen, I'd just like to help a little bit, you know. If there's anything I can do, go there, help out, you know, whatever, you know. And they just basically ignored me. And it's like, you know,
well, you might want something.
To be king of the world there, but, you know, they have their own little clique. And they're asking for donations. And I know from experience, and especially when you're probably going to get 5,000 or 6,000 people easy. I mean, if they only got 5,000 or 6,000, I would be surprised. Because you look at the major players that they have coming to this thing, okay?
Oh, look, I think it would be absolutely wonderful. Don't get me wrong. We should be there. I don't have the money to get us there. We should be there. We should be there and do the full broadcast schedule from Yearly Coast.
I would love to do that, but I can't even get the people who are in charge to talk to me. You know, it has nothing to do with me being a diarist or anything, or you know, an irresponsible diarist. It's just, you know, they're going to do things their way. But what angers me is that they're asking for donations all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't ask for donations for something like this. You sell memberships. You sell tickets to go to the convention. And you could charge, you know, $200 to get into this thing, and a lot of people would pay it. Even at $5,000, or even at 5,000 people, you know, you could raise $100,000 easy. And I know that the cost of that convention center is not as much as all that. And I know you don't have to pay that much for plane fare and all that stuff for all these big time politicians. In other words, you have the budget to not ask for any donations at all. And this is what angers me so much about on the left. And we've talked about this before. They're always asking you to donate your time, to donate your money, to give, while a few people up on the top make a nice little fortune off of it.
Well, I know what you're talking about, because I'm highly conflicted, Joe, because we have now officially entered in the donation realm, and I've been really tickled to see the way people have responded. We can't go without it right now. I hope someday we'll get to the point where we don't need to do it anymore, but for the time being, we have to solicit donations. Because we have real costs here, real time costs, that if we don't pay them, we go away. It's that simple. Okay? I don't begrudge anybody a nickel. I don't. On the other hand, if you run a text site, okay, and this and the computer people who know this far better than I can certainly chime in, straighten me out, back me up, whatever, and I'm sure they will. If you run a text site and you tell me that you need $150,000 to $300,000 a year to stay up, there's a whole bunch of that money that isn't supporting your site. It's supporting a lifestyle.
Yes, boy. Let me click on here while I'm here. Let me see how much they're charging for an ad here.
Talk about Daily Coast, $9,000 for one ad for one day.
Let's see. I'm trying to see. Let's see. They don't give a specific site yet. Duration, how long you want it, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Bart Kopp published this a couple of weeks ago, Joe.
Mm.
And it's through a company called Blog Ads.
Yeah.
And at Blog Ads, if you want to place one ad for one day on Daily Coast, it costs you
$9,000. $9,000. And who has that kind of crap? And how much of that percentage is Mr. Marcos taking?
Well, you know, I understand, and I don't know. I don't know what the pay structure is. I don't know what people are making. Okay. I know what it costs to run this network. And the fact of the matter is this network runs on about if you don't count Ben. And Jesus, what kind of a statement is that? Let's put it this way. Costs alone for this network, including servers that Ben runs, are about $1,700 a month. And that doesn't include the power bill. All right? That's what has come out of the sponsorships that we've gotten. That is what has come out of, frankly, I'm not going to pull it, and if he's listening, I'm not trying to embarrass or anything. Frankly, that is what has come out of Wayne's pocket on a number of occasions because we were dedicated, because everybody has their hand out. And it seems somehow wrong for us to stick our hand out to when at the same time we're asking people to spend their time with us.
Well, you know, and I try not to ask for donations. I did a little bit on the show, on the last part of the show today, on my show, asking for, you know, for a little help for Head On and for the Cup of Joe show. But I would much prefer people buy an ad.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, I want you to get something for your money. I don't want to give you anything. And I'll do the ad myself. You know, you tell me what you want to say, and I'll record it, and we'll get it up on the air. No problem. No extra charge.
Yeah.
Nothing. But you know.
Well, there's a donate button, and frankly, advertising is a possibility too. There are long range plans for this network, Joe, and you know that because we've talked about it off air.
Sure.
If I had my druthers, I would put together a list of what everybody needs. I'm not talking about what everybody wants. I'm talking about what everybody needs. I'm talking about meeting needs. Meeting Joe Vecchio's needs, meeting Guy James's needs, meeting John Fox's, Peter Godbold's, Mark Levine's, Bob Kincaid, Agnes Kincaid's needs. And I would roll that into a monthly budget. But I'm not going to do that right now. Because...
Anyway, I mean, you know, as much as I'm sure you'd want to, you couldn't anyway.
Well, no, at some point... But there are other things out there. I need a publicist. I desperately need a publicist, and they cost a fortune.
Well, you know, I brought this up,
and I don't mean I need it for me, Joe. I need it for us.
Need it for the Head On Network. Right, right. We need somebody.
We need a marketing professional because, see, that's the thing. You talk about advertising. This is not like small market radio where Herb Tarlick goes out to the car lot and gets a contract.
Right.
These are broadcasts that literally go around the world. So we need the people who sell things around the world. As a function of that, we need a marketing specialist who has the Rolodex with the names of all the people at the media agencies who do the ad buying. And that's a very, very specialized craft.
Sure.
And they
sure.
don't work cheap.
And I have absolutely no idea of how to do that, or I do it myself, you know.
Right. Well, it's a specialized craft. These people get paid well because they know how to do it. And the funny thing is, they're hard to come by on our side of the political spectrum. Air America has a hard time finding them. I'm not going to comment on what other people's problems are. But suffice to say that there is not a top level marketing pro doing radio ad sales for liberal radio. Period.
Well, you know, the attack I'm going to take here, and it's still in the embryonic stages. I'm trying to talk with Carol Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com, who is also based here in Chicago, is I'm going to try hosting a house party here,
mm-hmm.
actually at my place, and to see if we can get some local donors. I have my my occasional lawyer employer, as I call him, who gives me articles to write from time to time and pays me a little bit of money, not a lot, but enough, you know. And it's very rare. I haven't had anything since the elections, actually. But, you know, if we can get some donators and we can, you know, what I'd like to do is, you know, set up a little thing where we feed them a little, you know, finger foods and stuff like that and talk up the head on network. And then we can get some local action going. Because, you know, Chicago's a hotbed of left-wing political activity.
Sure.
And has been for years. So maybe we can, you know, dig into that and see what we can arrange. And, you know, I'll see what I can do. And I hate doing it. I absolutely positively hate doing it, but I don't see what choice I have. Because if the head on network goes, I'm pretty much going down with it. Because I don't expect a call from Air America Radio anytime soon saying, hey, we want you to come do a show. I had that one guy, if you remember,
yeah.
wanted to charge me something like $1,300 an hour.
yeah.
Well, you know, I understand
Amway.
How that works. You're renting the airtime, and then it's up to you to sell the ads to fill the space. And it was Washington, D.C., so you had a really, really big area. But, you know, like I said, I'm not Herb Tarlick. I can't go out there and get these ads.
No, and frankly, that's a BS way to do business anyway, because if you are putting the time in to prepare and do a show, Joe, anybody on this network, anybody outside this network can tell you, you don't just slide in behind the microphone and go. I know you do a lot of stuff on the air about, oh, I'm never prepared, but you know what? I know you are. So, I mean, there's a certain, you're not as prepared as you might like to be, but you're prepared because you cannot just slide in behind the mic and do 3 hours of radio.
Well, I would say I'm completely unprepared, but what I do say is I'm probably the least prepared guy. You know, I'll read through my websites and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I mean, I know what Guy James does.
Right.
You know, I know for the 2 hours of radio that Guy does, Guy is doing probably 6 hours of prep. Because you have to. You have to be prepared. There's a ton of stuff that you may never even mention on air, but you must know it. And that applies to Mark. It applies to you, John, me, Peter. And if you're doing all that, when are you going to go out to, and again, these are global broadcasts. These are not broadcasts that are going to mean, you know, free car wash with a fill up down to the corner station.
Right. You know, when I did my I'm listening thing, when I asked people to send me an email saying I'm listening, I was getting emails from all over the world. I got one, I believe, from every continent in the world.
Yeah.
You know, from Europe. I don't think I got one from Africa. Did I get one from Egypt, maybe? I can't remember. But, you know, I got one from all over. And that's what I love about the Internet. I like to call the Internet.
Yeah.
With an S.
Right, with an S. Potato with an E.
But anyway, Jesus. I wanted to just keep you posted on that because, you know...
Well, email me the link. I'd like to go and peep at this stuff. This is cute. I haven't seen a concern troll in a while.
And I don't even know if it's a concern troll or a regular who's just kind of like, you didn't do this the right way. You didn't crush your T's and dot your I's. What's wrong with you? So, but he quoted a specific statute, and I'm not gonna go dig that up.
Well, you're confusing the people.
You're gonna put your brother's eye out with that post. What's wrong with you?
Don't run with that post. You know, when you fall off that post and break your leg, don't come running to me for sympathy.
Don't come running to me, exactly.
Oh, Jesus, Joe, I love you, man. Yeah, do you know how good you make my mornings, brother?
Well, I'm glad, except this afternoon.
No, I know, but I mean, my mornings, they're much better. You make me feel better at 11 a.m. Eastern time every day. I want you to know that, and a lot of people have said the same thing to me. You're in a perfect place, and they just love being with you there at the end of the mornings.
Well, I appreciate that, Don. And I do the best I can with the limited abilities that I was given. I'm eating my humble pie here. So.
Well, you know, no false humility, please. Joe, take care.
Take care, Bob.
We'll see
you in the morning. Or see you on Thursday, actually.
Yeah.
The 4th of July.
Yeah. Now, don't get back to work tomorrow, okay?
All right.
All right. Later. Bye. Okay, so the donate button is there, and a lot of you have responded. And I will respond personally via email because I don't know if people want their names out there for who has supported and who hasn't. I don't know how you feel about that kind of thing. I don't have any coffee mugs or mouse pads or clubs for you to join. We haven't gotten that far. We're just trying to be honest with you and straight up. Okay? It takes a certain amount of money every month to keep this going. And everybody who has put money into this so far has gotten to the point where they can't put any more in. Now, in the interim, we're doing things to cut our costs because we want to do as much as we possibly can to make it as easy for you to support the program as possible. I hope we'll get some coffee cups and keychains and mouse pads and T-shirts and stuff. And when we do, we'll let you know. Because I'd love to have you walking around with Head On Radio Network T-shirts on and bumper stickers on your car. Not the original T-shirt design, Agnes says, because they turned out to be pornographic.
Yep. Made me wear one.
And I made her wear one. I make her wear it every now and then.
Good break.
No, she's going to make me take a break now before the radio gets all dirty and stuff.
It's not gone.
It ain't gone, as she says. All right, everybody. We'll be right back. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
No, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, Joe Vecchio, the working man's thinking man. Moving to 11 a.m. to noon, June 18th, right here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee, George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
Next time you see a stranger on a plane, a stranger with those swarthy looks we all know, ask yourself, shouldn't I be afraid? Maybe he wants to kill me. Maybe he hates us for our freedom. Fear, it's what's for dinner.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Foxed Up with John Fox at his new time, 10 a.m. Eastern.
People, let me tell you about my best friend.
We'll take a look at two famous recording artists that mocked the Smothers Brothers on stage after too much to drink. And you'll never guess what one of them had on his head. And it wasn't a lampshade. Tune in to Foxed Up this Thursday at the new time, 10 a.m. Eastern, with John Fox at the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag, so we bought a pack of cigarettes. And this is magnifies and walked off to look for America. Kathy, I said as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, Michigan seems like a dream to me now. Took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America. Laughing on the bus, playing games with the faces.
Yeah, at least it's not laughing on the train getting thrown out of the bunk. You know, there's a travel flavor to that song. His bow tie is really a camera. Yeah, sure. This is thing is that was funny when Paul Simon wrote that song. It's not funny anymore because the bow tie guy exists now. We live in the spy state. We live in the place where I'm sure you know. We put this. It's not like this is secret. We put it out there. I'd love for the NSA to be listening. I gotta do the demographics and find out what kind of things the NSA likes to NSA workers buy so that I can advertise to them. Jesus. Here's one that I did just, by the way, somewhere I would have loved to have been this past, Saturday or so. I'd love to have been in Boulder, Colorado at the Naropa Institute. Admirers of author Jack Kerouac celebrated the 50th anniversary of On the Road with a marathon reading of the novel. Fans and some close friends of the late author took turns reading his most famous novel aloud at Naropa University in Boulder on Saturday. About 150 people listened to the cover-to-cover reading, which took 12 hours and kicked off the university's inaugural Kerouac Festival. I'm going to go to that one of these days. One of the most popular books ever written by an American. On the Road tells the story of Kerouac, otherwise known as Sal Paradise, and a friend he calls Dean Moriarty. You know who Dean was. Neil Cassidy. As they travel the country, including a visit to Denver that the city celebrates with a tour that traces his steps, the novel helped found or kick off or create the Beat Generation. Let's see, I've got my copy of On the Road here. Can we have a little literary corner moment? In no time at all, we were back on the main highway, and that night I saw the entire state of Nebraska unroll before my eyes. 110 miles an hour straight through an arrow road, sleeping towns, no traffic, and the Union Pacific Streamliner falling behind us in the moonlight. I wasn't frightened at all that night. It was perfectly legitimate to go 110 and talk and have all the Nebraska towns, Ogallala, Gothenburg, Kearney, Grand Island, Columbus, unreal with dreamlike rapidity as we roared ahead and talked. It was a magnificent car. It could hold the road like a boat holds on water. Gradual curves were its singing ease. Oh, man, what a dreamboat, sighed Dean. Think if you and I had a car like this, what we could do. You know, there's a road that goes down Mexico all the way to Panama, and maybe all the way to the bottom of South America where the Indians are 7 feet tall and eat cocaine on the mountainside. Yes, you and I, Sal, we digged a whole world with a car like this because, man, the road must eventually lead to the whole world. Ain't nowhere else to go, right? Oh, and are we going to cut around old Shy with this thing? Think of it, Sal. I've never been to Chicago in all my life. Never stopped. We'll come in there like gangsters in this Cadillac. Funny thing is, Truman Capote got all snarky about this book.
That's not writing, that's typing.
And they say it was written in a Benzedrine rush on one continuous ream of paper. That's the apocrypha on this. And you read it now, and it doesn't really grab you as being so revolutionary because it reads like everybody else writes now. This is the book that changed prose writing in America and much of the world. Hemingway was said not to think much of it, but this grows out of Hemingway. It grows out of Thomas Wolfe. It grows out of Faulkner. And then it just bursts on the scene, and God, it's beautiful. And I read it when I was 15 years old, and I wanted to leave home. My best friend did, a couple of years later. Went out to Highway 72 westbound and put his thumb out and wound up in San Diego. Just to say he had. I told him it was cheating because he got a ride with a trucker who was going from Mississippi to San Diego. He only had one ride. But still, he did it. All I-10, straight across the America, just rolling out underneath him. So that must have been quite a celebration. I'm sure it was much enjoyed. And I'd like to try that sometime. Let's see. I mentioned On the Road and the road angle, that wonderful, wonderful Simon and Garfunkel song, America. Different time then to now. Somewhere along the way, thinking got to, you can't pick up a hitchhiker, there's a psycho and he'll kill you. I suppose it was a more innocent America at one point. I don't know. I'm always suspicious of myself when I catch myself looking back at a more innocent America. There has never been an innocent America. But it's as bad now as it's ever been. A 65-year-old St. Louis man, whom Amtrak personnel kicked off a train in the middle of a national forest in Williams, Arizona, was found dehydrated and disoriented 2 miles from where he was dropped off. There's a photograph of the gentleman. In case you were wondering, he is not Caucasian. And you know what? I found out on our little train trip that the... not that I was running up and down the aisles behaving wildly or anything, but the staff on those trains are hard-working people, and they are going to brook no BS from you. Wayne and I walked into the dining car, and the head hostess in the dining car, or whatever you called her, said, "What are you doing?" Wayne looks up and goes, "We're sitting down." "Not in my dining car, you're not. What time's your reservation?" Look at the watch. 7:30. "What time is it now?" 7:25. "You need to be somewhere else." "No, we need to be right here, and we need to be drinking a beer." And I don't think she was used to being talked back to, because we got a beer. Amtrak officials said train workers followed policy when they put off the train a man they thought was drunk, but the man's family says he was in diabetic shock. Put off the train in the middle of a national forest in Arizona? This is actual policy on Amtrak? Police said Roosevelt Sims, a factory worker who had just retired last week, was discovered Thursday night walking along the railroad tracks barefoot by Coconino County Sheriff's deputies. They said he was dehydrated and disoriented. He was rushed to a Flagstaff, Arizona hospital for emergency treatment. He was headed to Los Angeles, but was asked to leave the train shortly before 10 p.m. Sunday at a railroad crossing 5 miles outside Williams. 5 miles can kill you in such country. Amtrak personnel told police dispatchers that Sims was drunk and unruly. Yeah, probably trying to sit down in the dining car and have a beer 5 minutes before his reservation. Oh, America. America. Lieutenant Mike Graham said he was left off in the middle of a national forest, which is about 800,000 acres of beautiful pine trees. And probably the occasional snake and wildcat and things that bite in the night. They put him off at a place where there's no train station or running water at the crossing, about 2 miles from the nearest road at an elevation of 8,000 feet. Amtrak said it followed company policy. Quote, "The conductor and the passenger waited on the platform with the passenger's luggage. Upon arrival of authorities, the passenger fled into nearby woods." There was no platform. They put him off at a crossing. Sims' brother, Brian Mason, said his family tried to call Sims on his cell phone that night, but Sims was incoherent. Cell phone records show that his phone was last used in Litchfield Park, Arizona, 180 miles from Williams. Williams police told CBS 5, KPHO, that Amtrak has used the abandoned crossing as a drop-off site in the past. Graham said that whether drunk or not, no one should be dropped off there. You don't put anyone off in an area like that. Don't reckon Scooter Libby, drunk or sober, would get put off there, do you? Not hardly. Not hardly. What a country. No, I'm not going to do my Yakov Smirnoff impression. But there's a stack of stuff to get through this evening. That just made me crazy. A man's in a diabetic coma, and you're drunk! God Almighty. And see, I don't know, Agnes, you're the medical professional in the family. Doesn't diabetes create ketones that can smell like alcohol on the breath? Agnes says, sure does. You know, you can open the microphone if you want to, dear.
Are you sure?
Let me unbind your feet there. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Sure it does. It makes you appear drunk, disoriented, sometimes combative. And he was talking to his family on a cell before this happened, and he was somewhat irrational.
See, I think this guy should be allowed to sue Amtrak. But, of course, if we did that, Republicans would holler about how we live in a lawsuit-happy culture. They'd just put him off.
Well, I mean, he lived. All's good. And if he died...
I haven't had an update. I'm assuming he lived.
And if he died, then, you know, what kind of job did he have before this happened? Because we both know where that turns out.
Yeah. But there's, I mean, there's that story which had... I mean, you said he lived, and then I guess that's what passes... God, that's the best we can hope for in the way of a happy ending in America these days. Well, he didn't die!
Well, I wasn't meaning to sound jaded.
No. I'm not gooning on you, sweetheart. Not at all. On the other hand, do you remember the story of the young man a couple of years ago? Young Hispanic man kissed a white girl. He kissed a white girl, and he was at a party in spring. He kissed a white girl, and he was then beaten, stomped, burned with cigarettes, and sodomized with a plastic pole. He was raped with a plastic pole by a couple of white boys because he dared kiss a white girl who, as far as we can tell, wanted kissed. Nothing in here about her screaming rape or anything. I mean, no, this is not one of those blame the girl things. There's just no evidence. No, these guys just saw a Latino, Hispanic, whatever you want to, kissing a white girl and tried to kill him. And after going through that, he had the guts to sit in front of Congress and put his hand in front of, up in the air, and in front of God and everybody, swear to tell the truth. In other words, something that neither Dick Cheney, George Bush, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, Scooter Libby are willing to do. And he testified about what happened to him in support of hate crimes legislation. Now, this young man, let me reiterate. This young man was arguably heterosexual. Okay? But what's the difference between him and Matthew Shepard? One was killed and one was nearly killed because of sexual hatred. And he is entitled to protection, and the two little thugs who did this to him, if you were a death penalty proponent, if I were, I might say that, yeah, okay, that's cool. Because when you try to kill somebody simply because of the differing bandwidth of light that reflects off their skin, you can make a cogent argument that for the sake of the gene pool, that those genes need to be eliminated. Ooh, that's creepy. But you see, I'm not a death penalty proponent. I far prefer the idea that by way of punishment, these two white thugs be put in a nice Texas prison where they can be introduced to a Latino gang. And they can get what the young man got. A couple of years ago, this young man got raped with a plastic pole by a couple of white boys. That young man is now dead. He's dead. A couple of days ago, he jumped off a cruise ship into the Gulf of Mexico and drowned. Officials with Carnival Cruise Line said the teen jumped from aboard the Ecstasy, a 70,000-ton cruise ship that sailed out of Galveston on Saturday for a 5-day round-trip cruise to Cozumel. His name is Richeson. While he was being raped with the pole, his attackers screamed, "White power!" After they had raped him, they poured bleach on him and left him for dead. after the attack, it took him 30 surgeries to get anywhere near back to normal. He told people that he had become known as that kid. You know, that's the kid that the white guys raped with a plastic pipe. Wonder if he's gay. Because, see, in the right-wing thuggish mindset, something, I guess every guy who's ever had a prostate exam is now gay. Do you see what I'm saying? This young heterosexual male was beaten nearly to death, required 30 surgeries, and still the American Family Association, and still the Focus on the Family comes out and says, it's more important for us to be able to preach about hating homosexuals than it is to be able to punish the people who do that kind of thing to a young man like Matthew Shepard or young Mr. Richardson here. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, a Democrat from Texas, met with Richardson and his family before his testimony. Said she hopes to have the bill named David's Bill in Richardson's honor. What do you say on the eve of the 4th of July about the country that this sort of thing happens in, where men, because they are black and because they are sick, are thrown off trains in the middle of an 800,000-acre national forest, where young men, hetero, homosexual, sexual, whatever, are killed for how they want to love or who they want to love. The other day I heard Rush Limbaugh opine, it was Neil Bortz talking about how freedom is messy. Freedom is chaos. In the old Soviet Union, they'd give you medical care, and they'd give you a job, and they'd give you a pension, and they'd give you a living wage, and they'd give you a place to live, and they'd say that democracy and freedom are chaos. And you don't want chaos. Here's your chaos, Neil Bortz, you bastard. Here's your chaos. Hey, Neil Bortz, how about a little chaos for you, buddy? Haha, just kidding. Maybe he could say that David Richardson was part of the wussification of America, like he did the students at Virginia Tech who got gunned down. They didn't fight back. They were part of the wussification of America. I'm sure that Neil Bortz thinks that anybody who does get attacked and beaten nearly to death is a wussy, because in Neil Bortz's twisted world, and right-wingers, whether it's Neil Bortz or any other of these libertarian freaks, you know, the ones that are too cowardly to call themselves outright the stinking Republicans that they are I'm a conservative. It's always something that happens to someone else for them. And they will proudly stand in judgment of the quality of not the criminal, but of the victim. And this is the bunch that says of liberals and progressives, oh, that's the Blame America First crowd. God, I'm a proud citizen. Well, I used to be proud. I'm a citizen of this country. And until they completely eviscerate, which they're working on, the entire Bill of Rights, I will continue to speak up when I see my country failing to live up to the ideals upon which it was founded. Because this is an idealistic nation. This is not a practical nation. This is a nation founded upon liberal dreams and progressive dreams that people didn't need a king or a prince or a duke or a baron to live. That, what does it say? That They are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All men are created equal. And they claim that that truth is self-evident, that it speaks for itself, res ipsa loquitur. But to a conservative, those liberal ideals are dangerous and they're garbage. And they're to be beaten down and trodden upon and thrown back. Because a truly free America is an America that is dangerous to people like Rush Limbaugh and Neil Bortz and Hannity and O'Reilly and the Savage Wiener and the Bush family and the Mitch McConnells of the world and the Jeff Sessionses and the John Cornyns and the Tom Inhofes and the Coburns and the Jim DeMents, all these weird, wicked, revolting right-wing punk thugs who would hold America hostage to their own well-being. Oh, they talk about free markets and they talk about capitalism, but they have no interest in any of that. They game the system and they rig the system and the dice are loaded and there's magnets in the roulette wheel, baby. And the ball always falls in the slot that benefits them. And maybe at the end of the day, maybe that's the final story of the Scooter Libby commutation. It'll be a pardon sooner or later. Most likely, it'll be a pardon in January 2009 when the electorate will have preferably forgotten this entire matter. I'd just as soon he had to do it now, and we got to beat on it for a while. But that's the lesson. This is the America. This is the America that we have inherited. This is the America that they have helped create. An America where every person cannot make it by pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps. An America where every person does not have the same opportunity just because they were born here and get to be an American. That is the myth they tell. It is not the truth that we live. And it is damn sure not anything that they want to come to pass, because they will protect their status, they will protect their rights, they will protect their own at the cost of the very fundamental nature of our republic itself, the Constitution. Because power and money and position are everything to a Republican, to a conservative, to a fascist. And that is where we find ourselves on the third day of July, 2007. I wish it was not so, but it is. We'll be back with the final hour and maybe even a little reading of that lovely little pamphlet, that flyer that was put out some couple of hundred years ago. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Ring that is suspected in the failed car bombings in Glasgow and London. It is now known that seven of the suspects are physicians employed by the British National Health Service, The wife of one of the physicians, a medical technician, is also a suspect. 10 suspects in all have been rounded up thus far. Heathrow Airport, the international terminal at Heathrow, was closed for a long stretch of time today, throwing many flyers out on the sidewalk beneath a pelting rainstorm. Over 100 British Airways departing flights were canceled, while arriving flyers stayed aboard their planes for hours on the tarmac. The massive disruption was caused by the discovery of a suspicious package. More than 41 million Americans are expected to take to the roads for the holiday, while an estimated 4.7 million will fly in and out of U.S. airports. They can expect some delays stemming from security concerns. U.S. military forces killed at least 23 insurgents suspected of having links with Al-Qaeda during a fierce battle in Iraq's western Anbar province. According to U.S. military sources, insurgents there were attempting to reestablish a base of operations using large-scale suicide bomb attacks. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's cabinet is taking steps toward meeting the benchmarks set by the U.S. Iraqi officials have approved a draft of a key oil law which will define distribution of the country's oil revenues. Debate could begin on its approval as soon as tomorrow. In Pakistan, at least 8 people have been killed and 120 injured during a violent standoff between Pakistani security forces and armed students who want Islamic Sharia law imposed. Militant students from an Al-Qaeda-linked mosque have used violence and terrorism as part of their campaign to impose the strict religious law. President Bush said that he won't rule out a pardon for former White House aide Louis Scooter Libby. The president did spare Libby a 30-month prison sentence yesterday, but he's still on probation and has to pay a $250,000 fine. The CDC has downgraded the severity of Andrew Speaker's TB. Instead of being the most drug-resistant strain, it is a highly drug-resistant strain and is treatable. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Coming up next, Science and Business News.
Hey, what's he doing?
What?
That guy is changing his oil in the street and letting it run right in the storm drain, which pollutes the bay. I totally wouldn't surf in that.
Dude, what should we do?
Call 1-800-CLEANUP to report anyone dumping oil, antifreeze, or paint in the street.
This way, fools like that can be fined.
Tell everyone to call 1-800-CLEANUP.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
EPA officials are in Kansas. They're assessing a large oil spill of at least 55,000 gallons caused by relentless rains and heavy flooding. Thousands of people in 12 counties have had to evacuate their homes due to the high water. A new study released by the AMA reports a small amount of dark chocolate lowers blood pressure without causing weight gain. 6.3 grams, about the size of a Hershey's chocolate kiss, lowered blood pressure. White chocolate did nothing. Trick is, you have to take it every day. Boeing is getting ready to unveil its newest passenger jet in 13 years. The 787 Dreamliner is the world's first commercial jet made primarily of plastic. It debuts on the ground on July 13th. Boeing hopes to have 6 of them in test flights by the end of the year. Caterers and casinos are gearing up for a rush of business this Saturday, 7707. What many consider to be a lucky series of numbers, between 75 and 80,000 weddings will take place on Saturday. That's an increase of 25 to 30%. U.S. economy appears to be gaining ground, and with progress comes the threat of inflation. Wall Street Journal survey of 60 economists reflect the outlook of the U.S. Federal Reserve. Most do not think that there will be a cut in store until June of next year. Oil is trading up right now, 32 cents a barrel. And the Dow was up 42 points at the close at 12,577. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366.
Here's Buck.
5 and a half past, and a little note. We will be dark tomorrow. That means no loop, no nothing, okay? I mean, I don't know. I might do some sort of a loop or something. Or throw. You know, I was thinking about cutting out the conversation I had with Mr. I believe Eric Peterson, who wrote the Thomas Jefferson book, that Light and Liberty, that we talked about back on the 14th of June. That was a nice conversation. Maybe we'll just make a loop out of it and it can run all day tomorrow. Everybody gets a day off, I hope. Sit and think about what a great nation this place once was, or what potential this nation once had. Let's put it that way. Is it going to have? Does it still have that potential? I frankly don't know. You know, in Network, that great scene where he says, "I want you to go to the window and I want you to scream, 'I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.'" You know what America does now? America goes to its window and whispers, "I'm not mad as hell, and I'll take anything that they want to hand me. Because I'm a good little citizen of the Reich." Oh, by the way, if you've got nothing better to do on July the 27th, make plans now to be in Charleston, West Virginia. Senator Hillary Clinton is coming to town. She's going to have a fundraiser at the Charleston Marriott Hotel. It'll be a luncheon and conversation with Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, Friday, July 27, 2007, 1 to 2:30 p.m. For those of you not familiar with Charleston, the Marriott is at 200 Lee Street East. If you want to go, if you want to see Hillary Clinton, if you want to have a conversation and luncheon with Hillary Clinton, if you want to be her supporter, it costs $1,000 to be Hillary's supporter. However, if you want to be Hillary's friend, you need to pony up $2,300. Now, I'll tell you when the Democratic, because this note came to me from the Democratic Party of the state of West Virginia, of which I'm a member, still, sometimes wonder why, but got nowhere better to go. Yeah, I'm going to go be a Republican. That's going to happen. I could be a Green and go and sit and jerk off in the corner. No, the West Virginia Democratic Party will let me know when Barack Obama comes through and has his $2,300 Be My Friend lunch. They'll let me know when Bill Richardson comes through and when Chris Dodd comes through and when Dennis Kucinich comes through. Maybe they'll let me know. The event is being sponsored by Harry Dietzler, Marie Prezioso, Chuck Smith, Steve White, and, I'm sorry, this is who you contact to purchase a ticket. Harry Dietzler, Marie Prezioso, Chuck Smith, Steve White, and or Natalie Jones. And you can RSVP at a website. And the contributions to Hillary Clinton for President Exploratory Committee, it's still an exploratory committee, are not tax deductible, by God. You no. No, this ain't no charity. Is this about Senator Clinton? No, this is not about Senator Clinton. This is about a stinking, rotten, filthy political pay-for-play system. Nanette. Nanette, you in the chat room? Ah, dang, Nanette, you're not in the chat room. I was kind of hoping you might be able to come up with $2,300 so you could be Senator Clinton's friend and maybe get her to pay attention to mountaintop removal. Judy? Bo? Patty? Any of you got $2,300 you can pay to be Senator Clinton's friend so she'll pay attention to what's being done in southern West Virginia? Bueller? 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 Again, this is not about Senator Clinton. This is what came to my email box today. I would be saying this same damn thing if it had come about a luncheon to be Barack Obama's friend. Because you see, when you see things like to eat the rubber chicken, you have to pay $2,300 or at least $1,000. You know, $1,000 gets you a corner table over by the kitchen door where you got to sort of lean a little bit to hear the PA system so that you can hear what your friend Senator Clinton is saying. As a Democrat, I have said to people, and you know, when I say Democrat, you know who I think of? When I say Democrat, I think of FDR. When I say Democrat, I think of John Kennedy. I think of a good man like Jimmy Carter. I think of Thomas Jefferson. Jesus, tomorrow is the 4th of July, and I'm getting a fundraiser notice for a rubber chicken lunch that's going to cost us $2,300 a piece to be Senator Clinton's friend. Hey, I didn't put it down there. They did. Supporter, $1,000. Friend, $2,300. You know, we sit and we rail about the culture of corruption inside the Republican Party, and then I get this. Do you suppose if you wrote a letter and said, I don't have $2,300, but you're my friend, Senator Clinton, because I think you're going to do great things for America when you're president. Can I come to your luncheon? No! Because in American politics, your best friend is Benjamin Franklin. Not for the things he invented. Not for the things he said, such as, Mr. Franklin, what kind of government have we? Well, we have a republic, if you can keep it. Not for that. Oh, no, that's not why Benjamin Franklin is a politician's best friend, Sunshine. Benjamin Franklin is a politician's best friend because he appears on the $100 bill. Politics is dirty and politics is expensive. You know, John McCain cuts 50 staffers from him, and you know, frankly, I wish John McCain would just, you know, go back to the insane asylum he came from, or, you know, go hug George or something. Get out of the way. None of the Republicans are going to be president, because the wrestling promoter has decided that the blue Marvel wins this round. Because the blue Marvel has to be saddled with the loss of the Iraq War, even though George Bush is the one who has screwed it, blued it, and tattooed it. That's why I don't understand why anybody interested in the war isn't saying, out now. Because it will define their presidency. Oh, President Hillary Clinton's the one who lost the Iraq War. President Barack Obama's the one who lost the Iraq War. President John Edwards is the one who lost the Iraq War. It's all set up, Sunshine. Steel cage deathmatch. Two enter, only one will leave. And the one who leaves is predetermined, baby. All because we do not have the will. Maybe we don't even care. Remember, I'm not mad as hell, and I'll take anything they care to hand to me because I'm a good little citizen of the Reich. God, I am a Democrat. I was raised a Democrat. I will die a Democrat. But that does not make me have to like it when I see my party doing the same sleazy crap that the other side's doing, because they're tied up with every corporate grifter that exists in this country. And we got to catch up, and we got to play catch up, and we got to be able to fight back, and we got to go dollar for dollar for dollar for dollar. And it's all remedied so simply. Public financing of political campaigns. You get public financing of political campaigns, you will get a better quality of campaigner. You will get a better quality of politician. Because it will not be about the money then. The money will be there. As I said, John McCain's cut 50 staffers. What the hell's John McCain spending money on? He's not buying ads yet. Political campaigning is a business. Bob Shrum is a businessman. He's not a consultant. Frank Luntz is a businessman. He's not a consultant. And these campaign managers have a little network of people to whom they funnel the campaign money. Broadcast outfits, broadcast consortiums, internet outfits, consultants for the consultants who have consultants. It's an inside game. And it's dirty. Jesus, if they ran a blackjack operation like this in Vegas, the feds would shut it down! Please, don't ask me to pay you $2,300 to be your friend. God, that makes me feel like the old joke about, you know, when you was born, you was so ugly, your mama had to put a pork chop around your neck to get the dog to play with you. That's just sad. Friend. Last time I had a $2,300 friend, well, never mind. No, Agnes, not like that. You kidding? There ain't nobody selling it can touch you, baby.
Oh, God. It's break time. You went the wrong way tonight. Damn.
Oh, God. $2,300. I guess it could have... I don't know. Why wasn't it $2,500? Why wasn't it $3,000? I bet you, you know what? I bet you when they have these things in New York and California, they're $5,000 and $10,000 a plate, but, you know, we can't soak the stupid hillbillies too bad.
I don't know hillbillies can have that much.
God, I wish we had $2,300 so we could be her friend.
I don't want to be her friend.
No, because I'd like to, there's a great company called South Wings. And they fly people over mountaintop removal sites so they can see it for themselves. Maybe if we paid $2,300 to Senator Clinton, she'd be our friend, and we could take her on the plane ride and show her what Massey and Peabody and the rest of the thugs are doing to this once beautiful state. Maybe then, if we paid her enough money, she'd be our friend and she'd care what they're doing. Maybe we could fly her over Marsh Fork Elementary School and let her see the 4 billion gallons of carcinogenic, poisonous garbage, liquid goo, liquid death that is hovering behind a mud dam over top of little school children, little scholars who are being taught stuff like the Declaration of Independence. And maybe she would be our friend. Jesus. And again, this is not about Senator Clinton. This is not about Senator Obama. It's about what we make otherwise decent human beings do who would like to serve their country and what we turn them into. We turn them into snake oil salesmen and hucksters, running around doing anything, saying anything, being, as the Apostle Paul said, all things to all people, all in the name of Mammon. God, God, God. Well, we're almost done. About 40 minutes to go. You want to get in on this? You got anything to say about this? You know, well, maybe you don't know the phone number. It hasn't burned itself into your brain yet, this alternate number, 304-658-5912, 304-658-5912. God, I hope I live to see our political system cleaned up. I don't know. This is The Horn. We'll be back. That is going down tonight. At the door, we don't wait, cause we know them. At the bar, six shots just beginning. That's where Dick hit.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the inside scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Mr. Gore.
Hey, Al.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Gore.
Hello.
Hey, Al. It's the Vice President.
Mr. Gore, we need you for president.
We deserve a president we can respect.
We deserve a president we can respect. Who has experience.
And compassion.
Who is the most qualified.
Who is a proven leader.
Al Gore. Right on Iraq. Right on global warming. Right for the 21st century.
Join us at DraftGore.com in supporting Al Gore for the Democratic nomination for president.
Sign the petition at DraftGore.com.
Paid for by the committee to draft Gore. He won once. He can win again.
down in the street, they're all singing and shouting, staying alive though the city is dead. Hiding their shame behind a hall of laughter, while you are crying alone on your bed. Pity Cassandra, that no one believed you. But then again, you were lost from the start. Now we must suffer and tell our secrets.
26 past the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. And I'm glad to have you along as we move toward the end of this program and the beginning of tonight's Tuesday night edition. I'll leave it to our good friend Peter to tell you book, chapter, page, and verse of Strictly Confidential. I want to go back for a minute. I'm going to leave the issue of $2,300 friends alone now, but I want to make something abundantly clear here. Again, this was not about Senator Clinton. This is about a filthy political system. Politics bought and paid for by those who can afford it. And I want to say something else. And I'm sure there are those of you who will disagree and go, hell no! But I want to make it abundantly clear. If Hillary Clinton is the nominee of the Democratic Party for the presidency of the United States, I will take my sorry white ass to the polling booth and I will vote for her. Okay? Period. You want to know why I will vote for her? Two words. President Giuliani. Here, try two more. President Romney. Try two more. President, woohoo, McCain. President Thompson. Want more? President Tancredo. President Paul. Oh, but Ron Paul, he's a great guy. He's a crazy-ass Republican. You know, I was over at opednews.com the other day, and I saw some site that, Ron Paul is the answer. What the hell's the question, then? Ron Paul's not the answer. Ron Paul is like a breath of fresh air because of the air that is being put off by the others around him. If you were running in a crowd that was populated by Giuliani and McCain and Mike Huckabee and the dude with the magic underwear, a meat locker full of rotten meat would smell like perfume next to them. Okay? It has become apparent to me that there are the people out there, progressives, who are thinking that there's something special about Ron Paul. Agnes, this is the part where we cue up crazy. Crazy. Crazy for voting for a libertarian. That's what, I mean, Ron Paul is a libertarian, okay? Really.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys that believes that everything government does is wrong. You want universal health care? You want national single-payer health care? You ain't gonna get it from Ron Paul because he believes if there's no profit attached to it, there's no sense in doing it! The guy actually commended Bush for attacking Social Security right after 2004. So let me make it clear, whoever is the Democratic nominee is going to get my vote. Now, at present, as things currently stand, when the primary occurs in West Virginia, I will be casting my ballot for Dennis Kucinich. Because he's the only one that's talking about the common sense things that matter to me and my family in the way that they need to be talked about. He is the only one promoting a health care system that is not for profit. He is the only one saying that the troops must come home now. He's the only one who had the guts to stand out there when the war started and be in the line of fire and say, this is wrong. Okay? But whomever is the Democratic nominee for president will get my vote. I advise you to do the same. Unless, of course, you'd like to have President Romney or President Thompson or, hey, President Gingrich! Oh, you hate Hillary. Oh, you don't like Obama. I lectured the hell out of Obama Friday night, and I'm not taking a word of it back. Because these folks need some lecturing. I'd like to see any one of them, except I know that Dennis actually has had to live like you and me live, because when Dennis Kucinich was a kid, there was a time he lived in his car with the rest of his family. See, that's the 20th century equivalent of growing up in a log cabin and learning to read by candlelight. Dennis Kucinich still has his union card and keeps his dues paid up. When Dennis Kucinich tells you that he is for organized labor, it's because he is a member of organized labor. And he's not giving lip service to anybody. I think it would do well for Senator Clinton, or Senator Obama, or Senator Dodd, or Senator Biden. Senator. We ain't going to win the presidency with no senator, but we're going to try if they're nominated. See, I'm contradicting myself. I said the fix is in. I don't know. Any of those people, I would like to see them live like a lot of us live. Do you suppose that Senator Obama or Senator Clinton or Senator Dodd or Senator Biden or Governor Richardson have ever looked at their children when their children wanted something and told them, you can't have it? No. Not because I don't think you need it, not because I don't think you deserve it, but because we can't afford it. If I buy that for you, I can't buy you food. If I buy that for you, I can't pay the power bill. If Daddy buys that for you, Daddy can't put gas in the car to get to work. And if Daddy can't get to work, then kid, you're really screwed. I'd like to see, and I think it would be good for them. I would never ask the Republicans to do this, because they're a bunch of soulless sons of bitches in the first place, and it wouldn't matter. But I'd like to see every single Democrat running for the presidency take a pledge to live for 3 months on Social Security disability, like so many West Virginians do. Or to live for 3 months on workers' compensation permanent total disability payments, like so many West Virginians who have been crippled in the service of Massey and Peabody and the like do. By the end of week one, I assure you they would be crying, as it says in the Bible, Lord, Lord. But it would be good for our Democratic candidates to try that, because, after all, the Democratic Party is the party of working people, isn't it? With the exception of Dennis Kucinich, I wonder how many of them have ever been working people. I think John Edwards has. What do you think? You know, God bless you, John Edwards, for suggesting that the the minimum wage should be raised to $9.50 an hour by 2012. The former Senator Edwards, let me give you a little 411, okay? The minimum wage in the United States of America should be $15 an hour right now. It should be $20 in 2012. Because we have got to stop talking about things like minimum wages. We've got to start talking about living wages. the right to life crowd, you know, the pro-fetus bunch. They're always and forever talking about how those aborted babies might have cured cancer. What about the living ones who are rotting in prisons for having a rock of crack in their pocket? Where did we fail the living ones, you right to life punk-ass thugs, you? Where did we fail them? How many cancer cures are out there? How many Alzheimer's cures are out there? The United Negro College Fund has for many, many years had as its slogan, "A mind is a terrible thing to waste," and how true that is. And it is true of young African-American minds, and it is true of young Latino and Latina minds. These illegals, as they call them, crossing the border, one of them may well give birth to the child that cures AIDS. Or cancer. Or finds a way to alleviate heart disease, or congestive heart failure, or congestive obstructive pulmonary disorder. But we don't care because they're brown. Do you see where we stand? Do you see where we stand here on the brink of another anniversary of our independence? We stand not on the brink of another anniversary of our independence, but at the edge of a toilet. And we flush our genius down it with every manifestation of right-wing conservative hate that goes over the airwaves or into print or over the blogosphere. Every moment that it happens that you and I do not fight back, we make it a little less likely that America will ever recover. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Wayne is with us. Hey, brother.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm a little head up.
What's new and exciting?
It all is, man. It all
is.
Yeah, I
know. I've been listening to you, man. Yeah. Somebody asked me today, and I've been wearing... I went to a county commission meeting this morning, got all dressed up, and then came home from lunch and put on my worst president ever T-shirt and clean jeans and went back out amongst them and stuff. It was a nice day. Remember that shirt? I mean,
Oh yeah. The one that got so much. Well, you got it from Bart Kopp, and it got you some serious love in Washington D.C. Man,
it sure did, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
where'd you get that
couple
shirt?
Couple of times I was afraid, but you know, they ended up loving it.
Yeah.
You know,
but. I want me one of those. Yeah, I remember that.
You were talking earlier about the Amtrak.
Yeah.
And thing on our trip to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
There were many times I would have welcomed being put off.
Beats the hell out of being thrown out of your bunk.
I should have thought about it and had a couple more shots or something. I'd have at least gotten me thrown off of there.
Jesus.
I mean, that was miserable, Bob.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know if you noticed or anything, but... After we found out we were going to be 2 hours and 20 minutes late, my mood kind of changed. Did you notice?
Yeah, that's when I took away your belt and shoelaces.
Ah, God.
You know, and it's so sad because it could be such a wonderful experience. I mean, it beats the hell out of flying, in theory, at least.
You know, listen, and I encourage people to do that, but, just you know, don't go there if you have an appointment.
No.
Now, if you have an appointment Thursday, you might leave early Wednesday morning.
Right.
You know, something like that.
And don't have people waiting for you at the station when
you're coming home.
No.
You know, we're
3 hours late out. Brother, right. 4 hours late getting home.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God.
You know,
I will equally depressing.
I'll never forget crawling out of that little cabin. And see, there was this wonderful gentleman who was part of the hospitality staff, and he you know, they sleep on the train too, and I'm walking past him because it's sun up in the Midwest, and Jesus, I had no idea that sun up in the Midwest means like 4 a.m.
Right.
You know, because there's nothing to slow the sun down. There's no hills. You don't have to wait for it to pop up over anything.
Yeah, really.
So, you know, sunrise happens in Indiana the minute that the earth turns to face the sun.
It's more like a pop than a ride.
Bing, you know, daylight, you know, no wonder these people vote Republican. Exactly. They can't get any sleep.
You got it.
They'll make you cranky, believe me. So on the way back, it's sun up in Cincinnati. We were supposed to pass through Cincinnati at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm walking past, this porter's coming out, and he looks at me and goes, Cincinnati? It's 6:30 in the morning, Cincinnati? Oh, we ain't never going to get home, because right. Home's New Jersey for this guy.
Oh, God. That was a hell of a ride.
That's why I was stockpiling the mini bottles of liquor, dude. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, I dug a couple of them out of my case the other day. They're gone, but I found them. You know.
Oh, Jesus.
But anyway, listen, man. You know, somebody said to me, hey, what do you got planned for the 4th? And, you know, I'm going to barbecue some hamburger, or, you know, cook hamburgers on the grill in honor of my son, Josh. But, you know, I said, I don't really have much planned. I'm not really happy with the country or its inhabitants at this particular moment. And, you know, we look at all these things and everything that's happened. I mean, you know, we got a vice president of the United States that has announced to the people that he is not responsible to anyone.
Exactly.
That he does not have to obey the law. He's not responsible for anyone. And we continue to allow these people to exist and stay in office. And, you know, Bill Clinton was impeached over what, Bob?
Blowjob.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And, well, you know, it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad. But we will continue on. Now, I want to get back to the money situation.
Yeah. I hope people understand that I'm not aiming this at Senator Clinton.
I don't mean that money situation. You know, Senator Clinton. Give me a break.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, listen, if she is the nominee, I will vote for her.
Yeah.
You know, that's just all there is to that.
President Romney, that's all I need.
If I were of the world, Dennis Kucinich would be president.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be that simple, you know. And I get so disgusted at the disrespect that is thrown at that man.
Yeah.
Well.
Sharpest man in the campaign, as far as I'm concerned.
The man that should be president.
Period.
I mean, it's just that simple. And besides that, what a hell of a first lady that would make, man.
Holy. Yeah, okay. Okay, we're going to get in
She's
trouble.
She's a beautiful woman.
Yes.
That's a beautiful story. That's a beautiful love story.
Yeah, the love at first sight. And
yeah.
And she's some kind of human being, too.
Well, they want to, you know, this short little guy, he's goofy, blah, 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 blah. This woman looked at his inner soul, man, and found something that was very...
Right, because she is a person of substance as well. It's
exactly.
Not like she lays around getting pedicures and eating bonbons.
No,
this woman has spent a portion of her life in Africa trying to make individual human beings' lives better.
Exactly. You know, I don't know what exactly they call it, but, you know, similar to missionary work.
Yeah,
I mean,
humanitarian.
Good person.
Yeah.
You know. And, but anyway, the money thing I'm talking about is the
Us Raising,
Radio
yeah.
Network money
right.
thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want people to know that, and, you know, I'm sure people that do know that, I've been very involved in this thing financially and, you know, backing you and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And I'm very proud of what we've done.
Yes.
And we have tried for over 2 years because, well, how many meetings have we been to, Bob? How many trips have we taken?
We have had
Chicago or Pennsylvania or whatever.
We have been blown off by some of the finest people in the country.
Yeah, we have. I guess that's good, though. I mean, you know,
yeah.
At least we got an audience. And, you know, we are going to find somebody that believes in us. And we thought that would help happen already.
Yeah.
But the fact, and, you know, we were all against doing what we are now doing, and that is soliciting donations, which, well, you know, I never wanted to come to that, but the fact of the matter is, in order for us to survive, that has to happen. We have to have some people donate and, you know, carry us on for a little while, and I don't think it'll last forever, because I do think we're going to get funding.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the money that I've gotten in here, I want people to understand that if it wasn't for all the free labor, all the people that work for nothing, you and your wife and, well, I don't want to name everybody, but because I'm afraid I'll skip somebody.
Peter,
but the
John,
fact of the matter
Ben,
is
yeah.
No one here, no one involved, no one, you know, has ever got paid a penny. And, well, I feel very, you know, well, that's not right. You know.
Well, you know, yeah. Coming from the background you come from, you know, your holy writ is good wages, good benefits, and job security, because you're an organized labor man.
And to be able to retire with dignity.
Right.
That is not too much for a working person to ask, you know. So, you know, we've come down to this thing, and, you know, I ask people to support us.
And they already are. They already are. It's blowing me away what we're already seeing.
Well, I went to the website, man. Where's the magic button?
Oh, it's on the website. It's right there where you click Listen Live. It's right above there. It says Donate.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, this just came up shortly.
It went up in the last 24 hours. John Fox put that on the absolute front burner.
Okay.
And it's right there in the right-hand corner of the webpage.
Okay, I went there.
Yeah, head
and
on.
I didn't see it.
Head on radionetwork.com and right there.
Yeah,
right,
I know.
Right, listen live and donate. Yeah.
Okay, let me look. I'm looking now.
Okay, hey, guess who else we've got on the line?
Who?
Let's bring him on at the same time.
All right, go for it,
okay.
Man. I'm not afraid.
Brother Bruce.
Hello, Bob. Hello, Wayne.
Bruce.
Bruce.
Yeah. You remember me?
Yeah, I do, man. Where the hell have you been?
Man, I've been on walkabout, but I'm back. And doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. I'm working hard every day and trying to do good things in the world, and life is good, Wayne.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that, Bruce. It's very good to hear your voice, man.
Bruce has his own blog there at the website now.
Is that right?
Yes.
It's called Bruce Birch's blog. You know, the title is kind
catchy.
Of a unique name.
Catchy.
Yeah.
It's kind of catchy.
Yeah.
And actually, the post that I have up for this week, Wayne, is all about Independence Day. It's a repost of the Declaration of Independence, which I thought was very appropriate. Now, of course, if you go down on the street corner and you read that Declaration of Independence, chances are you're going to get locked up for treason. But
exactly.
It was treasonous then, and it's treasonous now.
That's what's so disappointing about people. But
you know, I was talking about going and burning the Declaration of Independence. You know, I think I'll just go downtown tomorrow and read it.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Bob.
That could probably get you jailed also.
Yeah, that's going to get me just as arrested. Maybe not shot, but arrested. Maybe shot.
You do realize, of course, that the Head On Radio Network is the new is the new version of Thomas Paine, right?
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Did he die broke too, Bruce?
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did. He actually went to prison for a while.
Thank you, Mary Sunshine.
I've already been to prison. So I got that part done. I'm out of prison jail.
Well, I can't think of a better guy to serve time with, so.
Listen, man, I am so very glad to hear from you.
You sound
really great, and well, I'm just thrilled to death. I'm just thrilled to death to hear from you. That's,
well, you sound great too, Wayne. You've been
Fourth of July, pal.
Well, I'll try to get up a special post tomorrow and talk about the contributions that normal, everyday working, hardworking Americans put into to this society. I think it's important to remember. You know, they say freedom isn't free, right?
Yep,
it is
isn't
not
what they
free,
say,
brother. It is not free. And, you know, that's probably why we're in the situation that we are, because so many people have taken it for granted, and it should not be taken for granted. It's something that has to be worked at constantly in order to maintain it, and we've done a very poor job of doing that, we meaning American citizens.
I don't see myself celebrating the 4th of July by watching American Idol. Do you, Wayne?
No, I don't see that at all, brother.
Not in the cards.
See that at all.
Not in the cards. Well, Bob, I know you're getting up to the end of the show here, but I wanted to pop in and just say hello and happy 4th of July to everyone, and you know, good things are coming on the way.
All right, man.
All right, good deal, brother.
Good to hear from you, man.
Take
you
care, Bruce.
Have a great, great day tomorrow, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you too.
Okay, okay. Brother.
Stay in touch, please.
I will.
Yeah. Burn that blog up.
I will.
You know where we live, man. Don't you?
Yeah, you go to hell and take a left, right?
There you go.
That's us.
All right, man.
Later.
Y'all have a good night.
Bye.
All right, man. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was very nice.
Yeah, I love that man.
I do too, man. He's a good man.
Very good.
Good man.
So, you know, Wayne, just to make things clear, we have you know, a set amount of expenses, and that's what we're trying to meet. And with any luck at all, that's what will happen.
Well, yeah, and you know, I want to more than meet expenses. You know, I want people to realize that everybody that's working for nothing, and because you know, that's part of the reason that we have lost people from time to time, because we weren't, you know, everybody's into it, and everybody, you know, is volunteering their time. Situations change. Life changes. If you don't have money to pay your damn bills and, you know, keep your phone turned on, it's awful hard to donate your time.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, so I know that I have faith that we are going to find an organization, a person, somebody, you know.
Yeah. And you know, like I said,
and allow people to be paid, and we don't need to, you know, I don't need to be paid at all. The hosts and the people that support this show, the news ninjas, and we could go on and on and on. You know, people have to be able to be paid a little bit of money, and I'd love to see that happen. So
I would too. And it will
but
happen.
The most important thing right now is to stay on air until we find our, I don't know, sugar daddy?
Angel, liberal, limousine liberal, you know.
Actually, I'm looking
for to charge sugar people 20. I want to charge 20 people $2,300 to be my friend.
Bob, don't get me into that. Okay? I don't want to. I mean, oh my God.
No, no, no. I'm the kid in the yard with the pork chop around his neck. Trust me.
Know, well, she needs a pork chop. Well, her pork chop's her husband, Bill, I guess.
Well, ain't that the truth?
Yeah, so, But
people need to know, nothing changes because we're soliciting donations. The podcasts remain as they are. The archives remain as they are. The stream remains as it is. The chat room remains as it is. The message board remains as it is. Okay? We're not charging you for anything. We're asking you to help us stay alive until this thing can take off. Because one thing needs to be borne in mind, Wayne. We're not 2 years old yet.
I know we're not, man.
In less than 2 years, we have gotten to the point where our stream runs more than half a day with original, fresh content. Any other liberal radio operation, conservative radio, any radio operation that can say that, and that they've done it on almost nothing.
I don't know of any.
There aren't any. There aren't any. It's that simple. So we're going to keep doing what we're doing, and frankly, anybody who knows business and business modeling and that kind of stuff knows that no small business can expect to turn a profit before year 5. I run around with people who run restaurants. And they say that, you know, if you're making a profit by year five, you're really, really kicking ass.
Yeah, you're doing good. That's exactly right.
We are at not yet year two.
And we certainly haven't made a profit.
No, we haven't made a profit, but my God, what a difference we've made.
Yes, we have made, and that's why, you know. Well, Dr. Bill, his show was about that the other day, and the fairness doctrine. I don't really give a damn about the fairness doctrine. What I care about is the ownership of media. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, our problems are the ownership of media is down to, what, five or six people? Or corporations?
Right.
And that's the problem. That has to be busted up. I mean, we have antitrust laws and things like that. I'm sure there could be a case made. And if people, you know, I mean, this conservative bullshit, you know, so many people love, you know, it's the only thing that's on. You own the station.
Yeah, it's Soviet television.
There's nothing else to listen to. And you won't let people like us or people of a different point of view on your station.
Exactly. It's Soviet broadcasting, Wayne. You know,
that's
in the old
exactly
Soviet Union, the evening Borscht Report had great ratings because it was all there was.
Broadcasting is propaganda. That's what the hell it is.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that, that Borscht guy. My God. You know, I heard that the other day you talked about that, and I heard him say that, too, about the obese women that want their children, that, you know,
yeah,
feed their children lard so they'll be fat, too, so they won't show up.
They're insane.
Get a life, man.
Well, quit drinking on air, for starters. I mean, that seems obvious to me.
You think so?
Oh, God.
Is he a lush?
Oh, he's got to be. Pillhead,
well, you know,
something.
Bob,
you can't.
It's hard for me to hate him for that.
Yeah, I know, but you can't talk that kind of trash and have people thinking you're sober behind the microphone.
Well, that's true. Now, you know, most lushes I know are pretty nice guys.
Yeah.
He's not.
Well, he's a mean pillhead then, okay?
Well, yeah, he's mean. God, he's mean.
But he's a conservative. He's a libertarian. He's a Republican, whatever. They are mean. That is a mean crowd. I'd rather hang out with the Hell's Angels than them, okay?
Oh, hell, I have.
But see what I mean? I was right. Brother, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of the way and make room for Peter.
Peter coming on?
Peter's coming on.
Okay, man.
Take it easy, brother.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Later. Well, shame on me. I didn't read the Declaration of Independence. By God, I guess I'll have to go downtown and do it tomorrow. This will be interesting. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to you who have donated. Already. Thank you. Agnes, thank you. A very happy Independence Day to you all. Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk, thank you. Thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters who helped us get started and are helping us build the American dream and save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
all three failed bombing plots in Glasgow and London together. They're working on a lead suggesting suspicious contacts with Al-Qaeda in Iraq and the 10 suspects taken into custody, 7 of which are physicians. British authorities now believe they have all of the suspects in this particular cell contained. One of the captives is a medical technician. She is the wife of one of the doctors. Heathrow Airport's international terminal received quite a scare today. A suspicious package caused major delays. Evacuation orders put many flyers out on the sidewalk beneath a pelting rainstorm. 108 British Airways departing flights were canceled, while arriving flyers stayed aboard their planes for hours on the tarmac. More than 41 million Americans are expected to take to the roads for the holiday, while an estimated 4.7 million will fly in and out of U.S. airports. They can expect some delays stemming from security concerns. U.S. military forces killed at least 23 insurgents suspected of having links with Al-Qaeda during a fierce battle in Iraq's western Anbar province. According to U.S. military sources, insurgents there were attempting to reestablish a base of operations using large-scale suicide bomb attacks. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's cabinet is taking steps toward meeting the benchmarks set by the U.S. Iraqi officials have approved a draft key oil law, which will define distribution of the country's oil revenues. Debate could begin on its approval as soon as tomorrow. President Bush said that he will not rule out a pardon for former White House aide Louis Scooter Libby. The president did spare Libby a 30-month prison sentence yesterday, but he is still on probation and ordered to pay a $250,000 fine. The CDC has now downgraded the severity of Andrew Speaker's tuberculosis. Instead of being the most drug-resistant strain, it is a highly drug-resistant strain and is treatable. Speaker set off an international health scare by traveling on